We go now from Richmond all the way to Anchorage, Alaska, for this week's conversation with the ethicist. Listener Amy Johnson wrote in with a very painful issue involving a child she and her husband hoped to adopt. It was an open adoption, so Ms. Johnson was dealing with the child's birth family. New York Times Magazine ethicist Randy Cohen joins us from New York, and we have Ms. Johnson on the line now to tell us about her dilemma. Hi there.
Hi.
Can you read us a bit from the letter you wrote to Randy?
Yes. The child's grandmother had physical custody, but legal custody still belongs to her daughter, the birth mother, who left the child when she was 1 month old. The grandmother gave us the child, and the agency began pursuing relinquishment on the part of the birth mother. In the meantime, we talked to the child's pediatrician, and it became evident that the grandmother was not feeding the child adequately. The grandmother also admitted to locking her in a room when she cried and repeatedly leaving her with people for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. We also suspected the grandmother of drug problems, and we knew she had lost her nursing license, which she was trying to get reinstated. One day, the grandmother came to take the child for a visit, and she did not return. My question is this. Given that my husband and I have a strong emotional attachment to this issue, and all we know is really hearsay, is it ethical to report her to the nursing licensing board? Is it ethical not to?
Wow, Randy, the burning issue here seems to be the child's safety and welfare. What should Amy do?
This kind of question, this class of questions is called duty to report questions.
Right.
And it's interesting to me that in nearly every jurisdiction, I think perhaps in every jurisdiction in the United States, pediatricians have not just a moral but a legal obligation, an affirmative obligation to report any suspected cases of child abuse. So it seems that a great deal of your information about possibly dangerous behavior comes from the pediatrician. So I would hope that the pediatrician has acted on that obligation. That's paramount.
What happened there was the pediatrician noticed a failure to thrive on the part of the child. And
yes.
The grandmother, and they were getting ready to do tests thinking that it was something other than feeding, because the grandmother apparently, from what we gathered, actually lied about having fed her properly.
Yeah, so I'm a little unclear why the grandmother was allowed to take the child in an unsupervised way. That surprises me.
Well, what about the child welfare authorities? Isn't it up to them to look at this and kind of beside the point to retaliate against the grandmother by trying to make sure her nursing license is not restored?
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that, Jennifer, that I understand the actions that would be taken to protect the child. Absolutely. And that must be done promptly and that must be done vigorously. And while you, Ms. Johnson, don't have a legal obligation to do that, I certainly think you have an ethical obligation to report a suspected case of child abuse. I don't see where that affects the nursing license.
Right.
If this woman was a poor nurse, and the board seems aware of that, that's a different matter. That one of the guidelines I use for these duty to report questions is we all have an obligation to come forward if doing so would thwart imminent serious harm to a particular person. And I mean a particular person, not a menace to society, a danger to future patients. That's a different matter, one that requires less immediate response. It's more ambiguous what we have to do there. So I think to intercede in the case of this child, you know this particular person, this child that's at risk, then you must come forward. But I don't think you have an obligation to go to the nursing board. I think all your information you have about the grandmother's nursing abilities is all hearsay in any case.
Ms. Johnson, do you know where the child is now?
No, actually, we've been trying to track her down and not been real successful, and partially because legally we can't do much since the birth mother has kind of disappeared and apparently still has legal custody.
So, Randy, does Ms. Johnson have a moral obligation to keep trying to find the child, given that legally, as she pointed out, there's not much she could do?
She's in a position to suspect that the child is in danger from her own experience. So, yes, she has to follow up on that. I think that is an ethical obligation. And one way to do that is, of course, to speak to the pediatrician with whom apparently you already have a relationship. That's someone in an excellent position to act. If there are whatever child welfare agencies were involved in this adoption, they, too, are well-positioned, better positioned than you, to take appropriate action. And, yes, I do feel you have an ethical obligation to speak to them to make sure they're aware of the situation and are acting appropriately.
Okay. We actually did report her to child welfare, and I hadn't thought to talk to the pediatrician in that particular sense, but that may be something we follow up on.
Well, thanks so much for writing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We hope your problems are less urgent than Ms. Johnson's, but if you have something gnawing at your conscience and would like help from Randy Cohen, drop us a line at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line, and please give us a phone number where you can be reached. Randy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jennifer.